Opa! Welcome, everybody, to Stavi's World, 904-800-STAV. Call in. We'll solve all your problems. I'm thrilled to have a son of Italy here on the podcast, a former resident of this fine neighborhood. Mike was tearing up just walking the streets of Astoria.
Oh my God.
Abandoned us for Midtown. He thinks he's Mr. fucking Manhattan now.
Yeah.
Fuck. Damn it.
I'm Mr. Gramercy Kips Bay.
Oh, Mr. Gramercy over here. Yeah, you did. But, you got a Gramercy vibe about you.
Like my chest tightened up as I was walking down these beautiful streets, yeah, dude. Man.
Smelling all the cologne and body odor past the either European, Arab, or whatever ethnicity guys.
Oh my God, it's so much diversity here.
It is. It's
and that's in.
Yeah.
Now.
I know. It's old fashioned diversity too.
It's like
they are, you see, it's the beauty of this neighborhood is you see how we really are all the same people.
Yeah.
Because it's like, whether it is Eastern Europeans, whether it is like, you know, Indian people, Southeast Asians, Arabs or whatever, it's like, we're all of them are loud.
Yes.
All of them are wearing fake jewelry to show off. The body odor's out of control. You know what I mean? It's like they're trying to cover it with either cologne or Axe body spray. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like we're all worn, dude.
All of them are chain smoking.
The children are chain smoking. Yeah,
everybody's chain smoking.
Everyone
when
has
you
a
get
beard.
To this country, you it's work awesome. And chain smoke.
That's the thing. It's beautiful because it's like, you really see people in this neighborhood. You see people that are like, they have adapted to America so beautifully and in their own way that if they were in their home country, they would be having like skirmishes, like border wars with people that are like 1 degree darker or like one sect of Christianity different. It's like how it's like Yugoslavia was killing each other. Yeah. Here it's like, you know, those guys are married to like Caribbean women. it's like it's a beautiful thing, dude.
It doesn't make sense in terms
awesome.
Of racism.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they
racism
are and that? The best part is they are still racist,
yeah,
but in the most non-trivial ways. Like that's the beauty of this like working class like this is like the kind of place that like in reality, this is the place that like, you know, educated, college, like kind of middle of the road liberals are like, we want diversity. It's like, meanwhile, those people, all of their friends are white and rich.
Right.
And they have like one black friend that they make uncomfortable who they like show off basically.
Yeah.
They'll bring like 3 Chinese people, 2 black, like they have a list of, oh, my dinner party has to have a ratio.
Whereas here,
yeah, they will probably say the N-word, you know what I mean? Like, for a joke.
Yeah.
But they are, like, love people of all different ethnicities. It's like, I love that. I love Queens. I love fucking just rough.
This is the most diverse area, I think, in the country per capita.
That's what
I think that's what people say.
I've said that. I've heard that repeated a lot, and I say it because it makes me sound cool. Because I live here. I've lived here the whole time.
Yeah, the banner of diversity. But I got to say, when me and Dan Soder lived together under a train for 10 years...
Yeah.
I don't know how you can sleep without a train like rocking you to sleep. When I first moved and there was no train rocking me, I was like, I can't sleep without the N, the R, or the Q.
Yeah, dude. I know. That apartment was fucking awesome.
It was a great one. And then how about for the fans, I got to say, like you would come over and then we would go eat.
Yeah.
And we would go to that restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That Greek restaurant.
BZ Grill.
And you would talk to them, and we would just get treated like kings.
I don't know
what you said to them in Greek, but they just kept bringing food.
Yeah, dude.
It was unbelievable, man.
Well, you know what's the best part? So it's an Albanian-owned, which Eldis is an Albanian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an no, stop. I have to get control of the soundboard.
Stop taking over our social clubs. The Albanians are moving into our organized crime.
Dude,
Mike, you're not going to like this, but a lot of the pizza places in this city are Albanian now.
Shut the fuck up. Eldis, silence your own mic. We're putting you in Albanian timeout. This is like
Croatia.
Yeah.
Isn't it something over there?
It's a Croatian man's cellar. You have to sit there with no food or water. Hope it rains so you can wet your fucking dog tongue a little bit. It was a rub because it's like, it's Albanian owned. So when we got the Greek waiter, I realized this after the fact.
Okay.
There was a Greek waiter who, when I spoke to him in Greek, were treated like kings.
Yeah.
And then there was an Albanian waiter who, when I spoke to him in Greek, and he didn't know Greek.
Yeah.
He would fuck our orders up. He would forget. And I was like, how is it that we get... And look at Eldis smiling contentedly, fucking piece of shit. But I was like, why is this... why does this go, why does the customer service vary so wildly time to time? And that was it, dude.
Because of ethnicity.
It was ethnicity.
I think we should, everybody should meet the Albanians and the Greeks at the Neptune Diner. There's no other place to talk about it, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it's the DMZ for Albanians.
Did you ever talk to an old waiter at the Neptune Diner? I talked to him one day. He was like, dude, we used to have, there's a nightclub down the street. We used to have fist fights in here between Greeks and Albanians. Russians would come in. Like, we'd have all these different ethnic fights. This was like it's a diner, but it was a jail.
No, Astoria used to be popping, bro. Like,
yeah, nightclubs.
Like there would, people would come from Baltimore. Like, Greek people would come from all over the Eastern Seaboard. It was like Mecca. It was like Greek trash Mecca. You would come because they would have like traditional Greek nightclubs where they're playing like bouzouki and they're playing like the like from Greece music. And they would just like I've had, I ran into people who I grew up with, right? And it's a little less now than it used to be in like the 90s and the 2000s. But I remember like our Greek school, we would take field trips to Astoria, not New York City. We would take a bus, drive through Manhattan, come to Astoria to go to Titan, the Greek supermarket used to live across from.
Yeah, yeah.
We would hit that one. There was like a Greek record store where you would buy Greek music.
I remember that. Yeah. That was across the street for years.
Yeah, and there was like a Greek tchotchke shop where it's like, you know, like the Worry Beats, Komboloi, you know, just like icons, like all this shit.
It's so
and,
great.
And like, some people would go, like, you know, some people would go to a Broadway show or, like, they're like, we go to music. Or when we did go to Manhattan, the only sanctioned activity was to go to the Met only in the Greek section. Literally, we would be in the Met, finish looking at the Greek statues, and then they'd be like, all right, let's pack it up. Like, we wouldn't even bother looking at any other. It was, that was, like, what I knew of as New York, was Queens and any Greek statue that was in Manhattan.
It was so great. Yeah.
And, like, we would have, we had, like, when Greek satellite TV came, when they got that in, like, I don't know, like, the early 2000s.
Feta TV?
Yeah. Feta TV, dude. When they had that, the commercials, New York would buy, Astoria restaurants would buy commercials. And so every Greek person in America who was watching, like, who was watching Feta TV, who was watching, like, Greek soccer matches and Greek news and, like, Greek sitcoms, they replaced the local Greek, like, you know, the Greek supermarket commercials. It would be for literally Taverna Kiklades. They would be like, come to, or the supermarket. And it was like, this mystique was built up about, like, Astoria as like the metropolis of Greece.
Yeah.
It was and it would be a big thing. Like, even one time a Baltimore restaurant bought like one commercial on the channel, on the satellite. And it was like a big thing. We were like, oh my God, the restaurant my mom works at has a commercial on Dish Network's Greek channel.
You guys are on the map.
Dude, it was literally like that. Like, dude, that was fame to us.
As you know, we lived across from that Greek supermarket, which we never really went to. And then there was a Greek music store across the street for years and years. I remember me and Soder would leave the apartment sometimes and we go, okay, I'm going out. Does anybody need anything from the Greek music store? Does anybody need does anybody need an olive tambourine?
They were selling shit like that, dude.
Dude, that's so great.
Exactly. Like,
there was a funeral home on the corner that turned into a Starbucks.
Right.
And Soder was like, I'm never going to that Starbucks because it was a funeral home.
It was a haunted Starbucks.
But that's my idea for, like, instead of college, you know, you just assign a young person to a building. Whatever that building becomes is what that person does.
Okay.
Wouldn't that make your life more rich? It's like, I was a funeral director. Now I'm in charge of a Starbucks.
If
it becomes a music store or whatever, it becomes a diner. It's like, you just do all of that.
I have to adjust.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a great.
You literally just invented feudalism. Where it's like, you take a poor person and you get a building that a rich person owns, and the rich person decides it's no more a funeral home. Learn how to make coffee. You're like, yes, sir, I will do it for my rations.
That is feudalism. Yeah. I guess sometimes you stumble into feudalism. Savvy? I don't know.
Whatever plot of land you're born on, you have to do whatever I say on that plot of land until you die.
But But if they sell it to somebody else and that person decides,
right?
You
know, right, right.
It's true. You're governed by the rich class.
You're governed by the landowner.
I never thought about
it
like
that. You purely invented feudalism. It's like exactly how medieval peasants live.
That's the other thing. I was walking. I was in LA. I went to go. Somebody was doing Conan. Either Mark or Joe List was doing Conan. Mm-hmm. I just happened to be there, so I went to the taping.
Yeah.
Hung out with them, and the Uber was like, when we got done, it was like 6 or 7 o'clock. Ubers were like $70 to go like 1.5 miles.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just not paying that on principle. Yeah. So I decided to walk back. And I'm walking back.
Well, it wasn't Mark because he definitely wasn't, you know, we can say, well, it might have been Mark because he definitely wouldn't pay for your Uber. So we know that much. So we can eliminate Mark, right? Like it might have been Mark. If it was like Sam or Joe, they might have been caught up in the moment and been like, let me get you a car, buddy. But Mark was like, oh, can I borrow for $20? You know, as he's making $40,000 to do one night in LA right before Conan. He books a gig the same day as Conan so he doesn't lose money doing TV.
Mark does Conan and then has three spots afterwards. It's like, how is it going to run?
Yeah. Can I go before Kelly Cuoco? Hey, Kelly, you want to switch with me? I gotta hit the store. I gotta follow Bobby Lee in a half hour.
So I'm just walking back, and it's a nice day, and I'm looking at the houses, and you know, JP, who booked it, he was happened to be driving, and I know him. He picks me up. He goes, "Oh, I'll give you a ride back." Gives me a ride back, and I was saying to him, "I'm like, I think the way to go about, you know, instead of college and deciding what you're going to do, it's just like you see a house you like, you walk up, you knock on the door, and the person opens it, and you go, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
And then whatever they say, you just do that because that's the kind of house you want to live in.
No,
because every job just becomes a job after a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you start out like teaching or whatever with like a passion for it. And then after the years and years go by, you go, this wasn't what it was when I started it.
Of course.
And then we're just talking about that about comedy.
Yeah, comedy.
You know, so it's gone.
Whatever industry you're in will shift under your feet.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like that. And it's like, but at least I have a nice... I love my house.
I love my house, dude. You know what I mean? So absolutely.
Maybe that's the way to go.
That's smart.
They say don't do it for money, all this stuff, and do it for what you love. But what you love, it changes from what you love to something completely different.
Of course.
So at the end of the day, it kind of is about money.
It is for money. It's fully for money. Like, do something that you won't make you want to kill yourself actively. But that's just... very few people are lucky enough to just do something that they find that fulfilling.
Well, and I think because they start doing it and then they get a family.
Right.
And then it's like the thing changes that they're doing. And they're like, oh, I hate this now. But it's like now I have to feed. It's not about me anymore.
It's about my
wife and kids and survival and stuff. So that now they're like, well, I guess I'll just grit my teeth.
Yeah.
And do it.
And you know what else is like the reality probably is that some of the jobs that I think people would find fulfilling in America, we've made it so that like, oh, actually, you can't survive on that. Like teacher, like. Teaching kids probably is incredibly fulfilling.
Right.
But people don't want to be making fucking $38,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like being a nurse, a doctor, all this stuff. But it's like, even a doctor, it's like we think it's such a good job, but it's like a lot of debt,
right?
A lot of school, all this
shit.
And
then when you're in it, you have to hustle your ass off in order to make any kind of money.
Dude, I know it's crazy.
Live
it's
like a doctor.
Anytime, this is my theory for Greek restaurants and doctors. It's like, if you're good at branding and marketing, I don't want to go to your restaurant and I don't want you to be my doctor.
Right.
Because if you know Photoshop, if you know TikToks, if you know Reels, are you studying up on the latest medical techniques?
Yeah.
Like I had a foot doctor who was like upselling me. Like he was like, hey, your foot's healed, but you know, we're doing cutting edge sports medicine at this clinic right now. And I'm like, you want me to just do the same thing that like an NFL? I don't need what Saquon Barkley gets, man. Just let me fucking be able to walk. I'm fat as shit.
They're selling you a body contouring.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we could take your foot and we could put it next to your hand.
Yeah.
It's like those guys who get their ears. That lizard guy who gets his ears cut off, and it's like we could start crafting you.
That would
into
be actually, you know,
serpent.
That would be kind of cool to have different like cool feet.
Yeah,
they give you hooves like a horse. They're like they're more heavy duty. You won't.
And then you'd have to put them on OnlyFans.
That would
course.
Be cool. Yeah, some guy getting jacked off by two hooves. You know someone's into that, dude. You know that's 100% in there.
I didn't know the foot market was so flooded.
Foot market's out there, dude. I'm not a, you're not, you don't strike me as a foot guy. Strike me as a meat and potatoes, yeah, tits and pussy kind of guy. Right down the middle.
Right down the middle. Old school. Yeah. Nothing weird. Yeah. Little flirty. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. What gave it away? The haircut?
Yeah, the hair. Yeah. The haircut, your entire vibe. The tucked into your jeans black t-shirt that you're wearing right now. That the folks can't see, but believe me, it's there.
It's lurking underneath.
Well, you, because, I mean, everyone likes to, you know, obviously, and by the way, we should say, Mike's got a new special out. Go watch it. The Attractives on YouTube right now. Very funny.
Please, yeah. Like it, share it.
Like it, share it.
Yeah.
One of the best comics. So funny. Great jokes. You're going to love it, guys. But, you know, you talk, and everyone, people who are like fans of New York comedy specifically, like, do know you, and right, you know, for sure, you know, roommates of Soder, like, you're all over pods. Everyone kind of knows you, but it's like, and everyone I think has this idea of like a, you know, a 100% Italian guy, but you also, like, you didn't grow up in like a super Italian, like, you weren't like, you know, in New York or Jersey,
no,
or
no,
like,
but my family was very Italian. It's just like, I'm not like a, and I played sports and all, yeah, that, but yeah, I'm not like a meat-heady guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I like to read and all, yeah, like, because you can tell by my act, like, when I go up and I'll do my act and then come off stage, people go, I wasn't expecting that, yeah, from you. Because I look like I'm going to get up there and go, but what about the meatball? Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's, yeah, like, yeah, I don't talk like that. It's like,
my grandfather, he'd be so mad if he see how many trans people there are today.
You know, like, at least tuck it in. You leave it out for everybody to see.
Where's it's like somewhere fucking weird, right? It's like,
Youngstown, Ohio. And then I went to high school in Boca Raton, Florida.
Right. Yeah, Boca Raton, a little more like Italian, like, yeah, that's where they retire.
Yes.
But Youngstown was the one that I keep. Yeah. For some reason, I was like, it's Youngstown or it's some weird part of Pennsylvania.
It's the Baltimore,
like,
of Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me put it in your terms.
What are you talking about? It's a shining city on a hill. It's a gleaming cultural hub. Is that what you mean? I didn't realize that about
it's
Youngstown.
All the crime with no show. Yeah. Wire. There's no The Wire, Youngstown.
Yeah, it's like it kind of in that weird, like, Midwest, yeah, like, no man's land of, like, like, weird Ohio, like, what is it, Eastern Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, kind,
yes,
of
melds right
together.
On the, I know
one
Pennsylvania
place
more than Ohio,
right?
It's right on the border.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's a steel town. It's a Rust Belt town.
Yeah. So I see what you're saying. I mean, yeah. And that's funny because, you know, Baltimore, obviously there are these cities that are Rust Belt, you know, leftovers, Baltimore, yeah, Cleveland, yeah, you know, a lot of parts of, you know, Pittsburgh, obviously, right, famously. But at least the big cities did get to retain some culture, right, some, like, we have sports teams, you,
yeah,
know,
because
I mean?
I think it's like finance, other industries rolled in there, mm, finance or like some kind of something, software, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But those hard luck Midwest cities, like, they kept saying, it's like, we're rejuvenating, we're building it back, but it just,
it's gone.
Now it's, I think it's like to the point where it's like, we're just knocking buildings down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean? It's like any kind of wealth moved out to the suburbs.
Of course.
And we're just like, you know, things are bad when they're shutting Catholic schools, but then when they start shutting down public schools, mm, and stuff, it's like, there's no residents in the city anymore.
Yeah, well, when they shut down,
everybody moved out.
Exactly. Because Catholic schools famously are where people who don't want to admit they're racist send their kids. Because, yeah, they're like, no, it's not about that. We don't care. Yeah. It's about religious education.
Right.
Our children are going to learn that the earth is 6,000 years old. That's what's important to us. Not that they're not around black people. That's how Baltimore was, dude. It's like, everybody I knew went to Catholic school was so fucking stupid. Because it's like, you really want to learn from nuns?
Yeah.
You think they know what the fuck's going on? There's a couple, don't get me wrong, there's a couple smart nuns, but, yeah, we're a long way away from, like, when, like, monks and nuns were, like, the intelligentsia,
right,
like,
right,
the,
right,
Middle Ages.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Now they're, like, people who, I mean, I don't even fucking know what a Baltimore suburban or what a Youngstown nun is like.
Right.
It's like, she's probably fucking stupid.
Aggressive.
And shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You better know, yeah, what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? But no, that's what I say about Catholic schools in like a city like Youngstown. It's like when they leave, it's like Jesus doesn't even want to stay here. That's how bad the crime is. You know what I mean? It's like, it's getting bad.
So were you guys like, so you're third generation Italian.
Third generation. So you're on both sides, mother and father. And, right. Yeah.
You could still be in the mafia. You can trace it back all the way.
I think so. I just couldn't do any of the violence.
But just from genealogically, right? You got to be able to trace it back on your mother's side.
We trace back on both sides.
Beautiful.
So I could be a maid member.
Yeah.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
I would be a bad mafia guy.
100%.
I would just, my main reason for being in the mafia would be to tell people I'm in the mafia. Right. And that's one of the main
rules. One of the things you can't do. You can't talk about this thing of ours.
No. But in Astoria, that's weird. It's like the Greeks and the Italians kind of work together. Like Greek. Because I don't think the Greeks do have an organized crime.
No, not organized enough.
No. But you guys have your soccer clubs here. You guys have your social club. Yeah, it's like,
there's probably little scams, but yeah, Greeks never. There was never a Greek mafia because we just, that's not us, man.
No,
we're not putting it together. It's funny to think that there's a group of people less logistically inclined than the Italians, but that's Greeks, man. It's like we're like, and it's like everyone wants to be the fucking boss. That's the thing. No Greeks could ever have a mob because it's like, fuck you, I'm the fucking boss. We would kill each other immediately. Right. It's like most Greek people in organized crime were like just kind of like free agents.
Yeah.
That would get picked up, do little jobs and shit like that.
But I love the. I love living in Astoria, the surprise Greek Easter. It's like you just wake up on Sunday, go to get something to eat. It's like everything's closed.
Yeah.
You have to slowly like unravel what happened. It's like, oh, they don't celebrate Easter with the rest of the Christian calendar.
Yeah. We're coming up, baby. Next week. Yeah. Who knows when the fuck this comes out. We've pre-recorded so many. We're up against a couple things, but because, you know, with the specials coming up, folks, we're about to go on a West Coast swing. But yes, we were just in Atlanta for a regular fake ass Easter. And this week coming up is Greek Easter, baby. Greek people love Easter, dude.
Yeah.
That's our like Thanksgiving.
Day. Yeah.
Because it's like everyone still fasts in Greece. Like here, when I was younger, I did grow up Greek Orthodox and we weren't super religious, but I had like a couple dalliances where I was like, maybe God's real.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I should do what he says. And so there was times in my life where I didn't have meat for like, now I'm not going to tell you I made it the whole 40 days, but but I think 1 year I did all 40 days, meat. And that's when I'm like fat, you know, just like a fat teenager, which is a lot of fish. Don't get me, a lot of fish sticks, a lot of frozen flounder, a lot of takeout calamari. It wasn't, you know, whatever. Somehow I feel like Jesus didn't have, when he said fast, he didn't have fish fillets and like salmon and calamari in his mind. I think he thought it was going to be a little more, you know, austere than that.
Yeah.
But still, technically I made it.
All religions have some sort of fasting, and it turns out, like, medically, it's great for you.
Really
something.
And that's so true.
It gets shut down by the media because, you know, the pharmaceuticals can't sell pills off of it.
Right.
And if you're healthier, they can't sell you pills. So that's why the knowledge on fasting gets shut down, but it's great for you. And there's a reason all these religions have
it.
Really. And, I mean, it's an internal sacrifice also.
Sure.
You're supposed to be sacrificing to God that not eating it all. It makes you appreciate more.
Yeah.
But it medically, it's like really good for you.
And that's interesting because Christians kind of lost that don't eat at all thing.
Yeah.
And the only ones who kept it were Muslims, really. Ramadan is the only, they're doing fucking intermittent fasting. Vecchione, pro Ramadan, folks.
Pro Ramadan, you heard it. Yeah. I would walk to yoga. I went to yoga in Astoria, and I would walk in on Fridays, and all the Muslims would be going. It's their day.
Yeah.
And then I come out, and they would all be coming out. I love that. I love that, like brotherhood. Like, I take my mother to church on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
And on Easter, whenever I'm there, I'll take her to church. And it's just like, you look over the people, it's like everybody's really old.
We're
aging out.
Oh,
like
for
Christianity
sure.
is aging out, and Catholicism, at least in this country.
Yeah.
It's still big in South America and Mexico. But it's like in this country, I think we're aging out. Whereas the Muslims, like everybody's young.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody's like bringing their
kids. It's a community thing.
It's a community thing. It's very beautiful.
Well, that's.
And also, I'm sure you've seen it, when you go to LaGuardia. And you're in the cab, and you see all the cab driver where they go to the bathroom, like the outhouse where they go to the bathroom. They're all praying behind there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really like that.
Well, I think what's going on is one of their friends has been constipated for a while, and they're asking God to open up his asshole. Like, I'm not sure, but I think I heard something like that.
My joke on it is, it looks beautiful that they're praying. It's like, what are they praying for?
Yeah.
Another 9/11, maybe? It's very suspicious. Fellas, stop their prayers.
Can we get it? Listen, I'm all for it. A little further from the airport, please. Can we get a mile away from the airport?
Based on our history.
We'll build you a nice little mosque.
Mosque somewhere else. Yeah, would be
can
good.
We look, build it there. Maybe we get those like dividers when an accident happens in the highway. People just get a little nervous. They see all those carpets real close, real close to LaGuardia. But no, it is. I think about that sometimes too, because one of the key parts to growing up Greek Orthodox, in hindsight, right? Like, you know, I'm not very religious. I've taught, you know, I'm not like, I don't really think Christian God exists the way they tell you. Like, I haven't gone full, like, there's nothing out there, but.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that, you know, just a book written by Jews 4,000 years ago nailed it. Right. You know what I mean? That there's no revisions.
I don't
like
the way you said Jews.
Huh?
I don't love the way you said Jews.
I'm technically in. You got to sneak it in where you can, Mike. Technically, I'm right. It was basically prehistoric Jews that wrote that book. You guys really think a motherfucker is just some guy 4,000 years ago doing this on some fucking tablets? Yeah. You think he's got the key to every all knowledge? Yeah. I'm a little skeptical, personally.
I'm shocked that you don't believe in blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus.
Yeah. You know? But I think what was so important to me growing up was the feeling of community. Like, I went to Greek school at the church. I learned Greek at the church. I learned Greek history in the church. We had like mythology class. We had all this shit that was like, and then, you know, the first time I get drunk is literally in my church. Like, we would have a party, the Greek festival every year, New Year's every year.
I mean, can I stop you? You took a mythology class?
I did. We would do mythology on Fridays, every other Friday.
That's pretty great.
And I would go to Greek school Mondays and Wednesdays every week, and then every other week we had Friday, and Friday was mythology and Greek dance. So that's we would learn about Zeus, and then people would be like, dun 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 dun, you know? Like all these little kids learning steps to like a fucking dance. It was
pretty awesome, yeah. Because we learned Greek mythology, but as part of English, in our English classes.
Yeah, there's so many like archetypes are based off of Greek mythology, so that makes sense. But no, we learned it as almost like, and dude, I was such an annoying little, I loved mythology. It's like when I was like those were my superheroes when I was like 8, and I would have like, and that's how my parents taught me. Like, I read Greek as a 8-year-old, 9-year-old, because I was reading like Greek mythology in Greek, and it was like simple story, you know, children's books, but it was like a way for me to connect to my culture. But then once I was like, hey, wait a second, maybe this God shit is bullshit.
Yeah.
And also, I will say this. This is how dumb my brain is also. We got a new priest who was a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
And the part of it was, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was like, I'm a little skeptical on organized religion. And if God exists, they transferred a Pittsburgh priest to fucking Baltimore. Fuck that cocksucker. Literally. And he was a piece of shit. Like, his son was an asshole.
Yeah. Because
our priests get the fuck. That's why we kind of do a thing where, you know, we're like, hey, what if we figured out a way to have them not be child molesters? That was kind of a big thing the Greek Orthodox Church came up with. And it's like letting them get pussy, it turns out.
But they have to be married?
Married, you can be like a parish priest because you know, it's natural and not a, and I'm not sure about this. Again, I didn't do research, but I heard that essentially the reason Catholic priests can't have kids is it was like a fucking cost cutting measure.
I'm sure that
where
that
they were
was
like, if
it.
We, if they don't have kids, we don't have to feed families.
Right.
Whereas like in Orthodox religions, it was like, it makes a lot of sense because historically, you settle in a community, you have a family like everyone else, you have a wife, you have kids, you can teach these lessons, and, you know, again, you don't fuck the children because you're not a child molester, you're a straight man who happens to be a priest, but yeah, his son was a fucking piece of shit, too, like, he was just an annoying, like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this about it. There were just some rumors about it where you're like, this priest can't even raise his kid. Yeah. And he's a, and more importantly, he's a Ben Roethlisberger fan. Oh, wow. And I'm going to have to fucking listen to this guy. Yeah. So there was a, you know, it shows you the mind of a, you know, that's like, the Ravens mean more to me than God, basically. Where I was like, I put Ed Reed ahead of John the Baptist. No question. Not even close. Lamar Jackson means way more to me. That MVP season.
Yeah.
Lamar, stay, please. He's unreal. For the love of God, stay.
He's unreal. He's actually from Boynton Beach, Florida.
Oh, yeah,
my
yeah.
mother lives right
hell
now.
Yeah.
Boynton
hell
Beach.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But in Catholic faith, it's like the whole premise is that they can't have wives because, number one, they're married to God, which is something that I think regular men would love to say.
When women
are like, we need to get married. It's like, sorry, babe, I'm married to God.
Sorry, yeah.
And,
I can't do
vow
it.
Vow of poverty. Vow of poverty and...
Oh, yeah, you could definitely see that with the Pope. That cocksucker's got gold from fucking, like, every nation that the Catholic Church took over in the 1300s. He's got gold from Africa and, like, fucking Germany and, like, just Viking's horn somewhere.
He's got one lung, Stavi.
Does he, this one?
Yeah.
This particular one?
Yeah, one lung.
Whatever. Fuck him. I remember he was getting, like, really good press because he was like, hey... Maybe gays won't go to hell. But it wasn't even, he didn't say they're not. He was like, it was basically like, he's like, look, if it was up to me, they're in. But you know, we got fucking, we got God, you know, the boss.
Yeah.
Look, my boss says it's okay. I'm putting you in with a smile on my face. I'm not kicking you out.
Yeah.
I'm not kicking gay guys out.
But the Catholic Church has that thing where it's like, where they just stay steeped in, they're not. There's no elasticity. There's no flexibility on stuff. Yeah. And I think as a result, they lose, you know, that's why everybody's aging out, because it's like people are showing up to mass and it's like, if you have real, you could be speaking to these real issues that people are having. People are suffering in their life. You know, people go through divorce, bankruptcy.
Right.
They're going through all this stuff and they're showing up. It doesn't look like it on their face, but people have had, you know, life is just the tragedy of life is traumatic, and you could be speaking directly to that. But instead, they take this biblical, like, text route, which then they talk about stuff that, and they're not making it applicable to the parishioners who are going there. And
so fucking doing Latin.
Yeah, people are going there out of a sense of duty now, and not, you could be really getting something out of it. Instead of getting the real story of Christianity, you have to almost go outside of the faith internet and get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I know. And that's going back to the earlier point of like, you're jealous of like the, and that's why I'm saying like, when you see it in mosques and you see it with other religions where it's like, it's about the community as much as it is like the teachings. And I think that's fucking, the thing that would get me back into church would be if like, you know, I want like if I have kids or my brother or like, you know, I have nephews or like close family friends have children where it's like, I want them connected to Greek culture. I want them connected to what it is. And the church is just such a hub for that. And there is statistically something where it's like, you see it where it's like the first generation traditionally is very, very religious, right? The first generation of immigrants. Then the second generation is the one that kind of goes off.
Right.
And then the third generation, when they're seeking to reconnect, you do see a lot of like moving back to, you know, second generation is a suburbs kind of American consumerism, religious.
Yeah.
And then the third generation, about a nice percentage of them want to reconnect to their roots and they move back into the cities. They move back in, you know, they become like religious, not for the religion aspect, but for the community. And I could totally see that happening. But again, I don't know. Greek. That's the nice thing. Greek people don't really give a fuck about the actual church part. They just like
the community is good.
The partying, the having a good time, you know, like Greek baptisms, Greek weddings, all that kind of stuff is super fun.
That stuff gets kind of bashed now or is given like not no value. It's like, it does have a lot of value.
For sure. It's more important than the teachings, in my opinion. Yeah. It's like the feeling of togetherness and just fucking hanging out.
And actually being a good person when, you know, not for show in the social media world that we live in. You're not getting credit. You're just helping your fellow man.
Of course.
When nobody sees it.
Of course.
Like, that's not really...
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening. I'm sure it's happening, but it's like... It seems like everybody's like doing it to post.
Of course. You know? No, it fucking sucks dick. I'm with you. But was there like a bunch of Italians in Youngstown, or was it just your family?
Family, Italians, and
And your mom
people get shocked. They go, "There's Italians in Ohio." I'm like, "It's a steel town, so there's a lot of Italians."
Right. Leftover.
Yeah.
After the industry left.
Yeah, after the industry left, the workers, a lot of the workers were Italian. So.
Oh, interesting. Like, so, like, your great grandparents, I guess, came from Italy to Ohio.
Yeah, well, it's just where, you know, how they come over. It's like wherever there's relatives in the U.S., that's where the other people settle.
Right.
So we had relatives in Cleveland.
So one guy
went
to Cleveland.
My great-grandfather was a musician over in Italy and came over and in Youngstown, like my father's people.
To play the mandolin?
Play the trumpet.
Oh, we need we need someone to fucking to entertain these steel boys.
Play the bugle. That was a real instrument back then.
Hell yeah,
the bugle.
Dude. That's awesome.
No, but he passed away. Then my grandfather, the traditional story. But Youngstown, but I went to high school in Boca. Boca was great.
Hell yeah,
a great group of people. Like, I think IBM was there at the time. It's like middle class.
Yeah.
I mean, Boca's a rich place.
Boca, yeah.
But we had a great like high school group of people.
So you went from just being a Midwest guy. Were you a beach babe?
We go to the beach, my hair was like my hair would grow out.
Nice.
You know what
Got
I mean?
The Italian
Got
fro.
Got the Italian
going.
Fro.
Yeah.
And it's like my mother would never cut my hair. You know, back then you didn't have any money, so you relied on your parents to get you a haircut. They would just let it grow out. I'd be like, "Can I please have a haircut?"
That's awesome, dude.
They'd go, it's so cute. Yeah. It's like, it's a dog. Dude.
I bet
it's
you were a piece of ass back then, though. You're wrestling, right?
I was wrestling, but
you're
I
an athlete.
Work. I was an athlete, but I wasn't like a natural athlete. I had to work.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Interesting. Because how old are you now?
50.
But you look great, dude. You look
fucking
insane.
Yeah, I look great because I
just
thank
work
you,
out. Yeah,
by
yeah.
The way. But it's like, make sure I work out, make sure I eat right. I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you have a smoothie every day, right?
Smoothie every day, dog.
I know. I remember. When I was getting into my smoothie, and I have a smoothie now because I eat such dog shit that I need, like, the smoothie is like, comes in and just like, pop, clears out my asshole, where it's like, because the kebabs will stick around.
But
you need like a fucking green, I put an entire bag of spinach in a blender with like, you know, some berries, some high fiber shit.
I love that.
And it just like rockets through my ass, dude.
Yes.
Like,
it cleans your whole system up. And it's a good, I did it before I came here.
Nice.
It's a good thing to do.
Thank you for having a clean ass when you came into the pod.
A full lemon.
Yeah.
And there, like a lemon rehydrates you. Spinach,
I love the lemon. That's
celery.
I have to.
Cucumber.
Yeah. You go crazy.
Ginger.
You go all green.
All green, and then I chug it down, and it's like, it sets the tone for, you don't really have the desire to eat unhealthy for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's weird how they, you ever see that thing where it's like.
No, for sure. When I have a smoothie.
Yeah.
The whole rest of my day is so much better.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, maybe I'll start with a bacon, egg, and cheese. And I know my entire, the tone is set there.
Right.
And it's chemical. It's not just, it's definitely partially psychological.
Yeah.
But it is chemical where if I have that smoothie, I feel awesome. I'm about to have one after this pod.
Well, when they have a, do you ever see that thing where they needed a bear on set for some kind of a shoot? And in order to assure that the bear wouldn't attack a person, they just raised the bear on vegetables.
Wow.
They didn't give the bear any meat so that it was interacting with a person. It didn't have that, have that.
Interesting.
Thing to attack.
Because can
they just,
you do
they
that?
Never got a taste for meat.
Even so salmon wouldn't do that?
I don't know if they gave it. I think it was a vegetarian bear.
Wow. What if it got one person like kind of has a paper cut and the bear gets a little blood on his lips and it's like, oh my God.
That's called a cheat day.
This is so much. Yeah. We toss him a PA every 2 months. You know?
Cheat day for the bear. It's a cheat day for the bear,
But that's awesome, dude. Because also being fit, because again, I just think of you, like, that's
now,
the fun thing
now
about.
It's like not even like, I want to be strong and all this stuff, but it's like, I just want to feel good every day.
That's all the
drinking
for
thing.
Sure.
It's like, people who drink, I'm all good with it. Like, I get it. I did for years. I loved drinking shit. But it's like, because you remember, like, like whatever. We would drink. But
When you start doing comedy, it's to get drinks.
Yes.
That's the only way you're paid.
Yeah.
Your whole life is doing comedy for free booze.
Right.
And hopefully a lady will suck your dick that was at the show.
Right.
And these atrocious shows.
And it's all, but it's all hanging out.
It's all
like
the
hanging out for hours.
It's awesome.
I don't know how it is now, like guys starting now.
Yeah.
They could TikTok their way into people's lives.
Yeah,
back then when there was none of this, it was like you had to be there for
the hang. New comics are missing being at one of the worst seafood restaurants in the world for 4 hours after you and your friends all just did C-minus on stage, yeah, but you're convinced you're going to be on SNL next week. That was the best time. Those are the best times of my life where you're delusional. You think, like, that was pretty good. You ate it. If you were to see the tape of you from then, you'd be mortified.
Right.
Right. But, like, yeah, new comics will never get that. And then hopefully a single mother whose own mother is watching her son that night decides she wants to suck you off in her Corolla. Those were the best nights of my life, dude. Like, even now, so much cooler shit is, you know, I'll do a theater show. Right. I'm staying in awesome hotels. My best friend's on the road with me. I might get a little nice top shelf pussy pie from here and there, but it doesn't mean as much.
You didn't
earn it the way, like, you know what I mean? Like, now it's like, once you get even a little famous, it's pretty easy to fuck. Yeah. But back then, I'm in my mother's home. I'm sharing a wall with my grandmother. You know what I mean? Yeah. I am only earning based off of being entertaining.
That's so great.
In a vacuum. No one knows who the fuck I am. This lady didn't know who I am.
You had to eat what you kill.
Eat what you kill, dude. And you know what? That fucking rancid squirrel meat that I was eating in Baltimore tastes a lot better than the fucking ribeyes that I'm getting. I'm in my lion enclosure now, and I'm getting Kobe beef given to me, and I'm like, this is pretty. It's not as good as last week's Kobe beef. But when I was eating fucking rats that my own fucking fangs crushed the life out of, that was the best time of my life, dude.
That was great.
But that must have been awesome, because, again, I think of you as, that's the fun thing about comedy. It's like, you can have friends where you have generational differences, but it doesn't come up because so much of our lives are the same, the things we care about. But it's interesting to think about, like, you're 50. That's like a completely different, when you're starting to try, when you're starting comedy, and also more importantly, just as a human being starting to try and, like, get girls' attention, you're trying. You must have had to use old school methods to get. There was no apps. There was no way to get pussy off the internet.
I thought
back
that was
then.
Better, actually.
It is better.
I didn't
like
the apps now. But when I.
You're in Youngstown or in Boca? Where's your pussy getting career start?
No. I was in a relationship out of with a girl in college. I moved to Philadelphia with her.
Wow. Where'd you go to college?
My immediate family was in Boca.
Okay. So you only spent high school in Boca?
I was in Youngstown first, then Boca, then I moved back to Youngstown, then back to Boca.
Oh, wow.
It was back and forth. Well, finished high school.
Just couldn't quit Youngstown.
Couldn't quit it.
Something about that, the something charm of the town.
It. But it was a blessing, because in Ohio, I learned to wrestle in like 8th and 9th grade, and then I took it down to Florida and wrestled there.
Now,
and
is the moving around, did your parents get divorced or no?
No, it was because of my father had a family business in Ohio and would have fallings out with his father. So he'd be like, fuck it, we're moving. And then we'd move to Boca, and then it's like, you know what? We're gonna give it another try. Yeah, we move back, and it's like, we're moving again.
Yeah,
and it's like,
we move back. Vincenzo, you snake!
Classic, not being able to get along with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So awesome. It was that. But I went to Penn State University and moved to Philly for a girl, and then we broke up, and I was just by myself
in Philly.
In Philly, and then I started. I was getting a master's in special education to teach, and at night, and I already had a bachelor's degree, and then. Yeah, I started dating, and then I started doing stand-up. And then I was like, oh, this might be something. I wasn't funny right away, so I was like, but this is going to help me with public speaking. Maybe I'll be a principal someday or a superintendent.
This will help me for my job.
This will help me for my job.
Just talking to a room full of retards every night, getting a bunch of drunk Philly morons to listen to my jokes. Yeah, dude, doing stand-up, doing open mic comedy in Philly, I would rather teach a special ed class than be an open micer in Philly doing like a midnight show.
Yeah.
These jokes suck. Talk about hitting your wife. That's awesome. So then
I moved, after about three and a half years, I moved to New York. I'm like, let me give this an honest try. I'll either succeed and be a big star, you were saying,
of course.
Or it's like, I'll fail, bottom out, and then I'll just be in New York. I'll figure out a job in New York. You know, it's no big, I'll be in a good place. You know,
join the unions.
But I didn't realize that it would be this in-between thing where it's there'll be some wins along the way, and then you'll just keep, you know, losses and wins, and you get this Tonight Show here, Conan here, the last, you know, and then it's like you'll have enough stuff to keep you in it.
Yeah, just enough to tantalize you. Yeah, it's really an abusive relationship.
That's really what it is.
Where it's like, you're broke for 6 months. You're a grown man with a roommate living under a train. But hey, Jimmy Fallon said you're funny. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, that's like, I love you, baby. That was a mistake. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take you dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always flowers.
Come on,
and
we're moving back to Boca. I'm done with my uncle. I'll take you to the beach. Mikey, can he grow his fro out? I love the idea of you, though, because there's so many different interesting parts of your life where it's like, and you wrestled at Penn State, right?
I wrestled at Penn State for 1 year. After that 1 year, I mean, it was
insane.
It was insanely
wrestling.
Like, difficult.
That's one of the top wrestling programs in the country.
I mean, now it's like they've won 10 out of 12 national titles. But when I was there, it was like we were third in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like very intense. It's like sometimes 3 practices a day. Fuck. And it's just, after that first year, I was like, I can't do this again. I can't do this again, man.
Damn.
I can't do it.
Did it feel good to quit?
I never quit anything in my life before that. Yeah. And when I did it, I was like, I really did feel... It's because I worked very hard, and the coaches could see that.
Of course.
But it's like, I was never going to really start.
You're bumping up against your, like,
I mean,
your
you're all Americans ability. All up and down the lineup. And I could have just stayed on the team and been, like, a workout guy.
Yeah.
But it's, like, all that energy into that. Like, I couldn't even really enjoy my college experience. Yeah. I felt like. But it was a really good experience. I realized people, you know, because you think you're working hard. And it's like, oh, no, this is another level of working hard that people just do.
And that must have been kind of cool to be at the highest levels of something.
It was unreal. Some of the guys, like, I mean, I was just, I placed second in the state in Florida, so I was good for my area.
Yeah, yeah,
but up there, it was like, you had 3 and 4 time state champs from other areas.
Florida boy, bam!
Bam!
They're doing,
I was saying,
they're doing real, they're doing fake wrestling moves. They're doing, you're so bad, they're stone cold stunning you. Like in a real match, you're getting rock bottomed. Some guy's making you tap with a figure four.
How about a regular person in Pennsylvania could beat me? A regular person who never wrestled in just by being in Pennsylvania could beat a guy who placed in Florida.
Now, were you around when they were, Sandusky was fucking kids?
I was there when it was being kept a secret. And then when I quit.
So you're in the same athletic facilities and kids' children are getting molested in.
Now, in my defense. After I quit wrestling, I was working as a waiter and we do banquets sometimes and we did a wedding and Paterno and Sandusky were both at the wedding.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember them being there. I remember seeing both of them like, wow, these guys are the guys.
You're like,
you know?
Why is Jerry Sandusky's date a 12-year-old black boy? why did he put a middle schooler in a dress? And that's kind of odd.
But that guy could really coach a defense.
Yeah. I don't know. He could.
In
his defense.
He's called not called linebacker you for nothing. Yeah. But I mean, even in wrestling, like I lived with the guys who were wrestling my sophomore, the years afterwards, and I just had great friendships with them.
Yeah,
so it was awesome. It was not, and it was a great experience doing it, but I really enjoyed the rest of my college not doing it.
Yeah, that's kind of nice too, because you're like, wow. I mean, look, we're big quitters at in Stavi's world. Nothing feels as good as quitting something that sucks hard work.
Yeah.
It's even if it's rewarding, it's like, yeah, but it's also, I remember quitting lacrosse in high school and my coach calling me and he was like, this is important for the rest of your life. If you quit this, you're going to quit everything. I was like, yeah, no, I get that. But, you know, I just don't want to do it. Like, he tried to give me, like, the hard sell. Right. And it was like, dude, I don't give a fuck. You're wasting your, like, whatever, like, Bobby Knight motivational book you just read about, I'm going to light a fire under that kid. And I was like, literally, truly what happened is my mom bought me that year's NBA Live. That day when I was considering quitting or not, and the coach called me and he's talking to me. I am literally looking at like, must have been 2006. I'm literally looking at like Vince Carter, like the new package. And I'm like, should I go to practice or should I play this game right now? And that was the nail in the, and it's sometimes I think it was divine because my mom never just randomly bought me video games, but she just, And whenever she did, she would get it wrong.
Right.
You know, like you would want Mario and she'd be like, here's Luigi's Mansion. And it's like, I asked for Mario. Like, this is a cool game, I guess, but it's not what I wanted. But she literally picked exactly the game I wanted on the day I was considering quitting lacrosse. And I was like, this is a sign. I have to play video games. and he wouldn't even... The best part is I was such a worm that I wouldn't even, like... He was trying to, like... He was trying to make me, like... You know, take responsibility. If I was going to quit, I was going to quit. And I was like, not only was my, and not only was I not won over by his pitch, but I blamed my mother who had just given me a video game. I was so like, great. Yeah, my mom just wants me to focus on grades right now. I threw my beautiful mother who got me a gift that day under the bus because that's how, not only did I not quit, I weaseled out it's of, I so wouldn't even great. Face the reasons.
Oh, that's so
and
great.
And you know what? That coach was wrong.
Yeah.
I quit. One of the best things I ever did.
Yeah.
I have a lot of basketball knowledge now. You know, I made great friendships with Sam Morril over there. Like, it's literally, being a basketball fan helped my career more than playing fucking, being second string lacrosse in Baltimore City Public School League ever would have.
That's
so
one of those
kids
things,
quit.
Yeah. But that's one of those things, too. It's like not... I was never going to start.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like, maybe my fifth year senior, I could have got some, like whatever, if I would have developed, whatever. But it just, the road was so, it's like, I was just tired of cutting weight. And I was like, but you really are right. It's what a sense of relief. And I got to keep those friendships. And I was grateful for the experience.
Yeah,
but I kept the weight off because I was in good shape. Kept the weight off.
Yeah,
I just got a membership to a gym. I worked out religiously 3 days a week. And I got to like, I tell you what, the next year after I quit, I felt like I was on steroids.
Yeah,
because I wasn't so run down from the practices and the work schedule that I was just like,
that year,
I can't believe I get to enjoy my life like
you
this.
You know how much the, and then you're thinking about your teammates and how much their lives suck.
Yes.
And you're ripped. That must have been, your penis must have never worked better than that year. Because it's like, it's not tired, you're in tip-top shape.
Tip-top shape.
You're 20 years old, probably.
Yeah, 20 years old. I felt like so good every day because I wasn't getting run down.
That's
go
awesome.
To my classes, I got a job. I was like, it was great.
That's awesome, dude. And then I love the idea of you being a jacked special ed teacher in Philadelphia. Did you do that? Did you ever do it or did you just went to school for it?
No, I did do it. I worked in a behavioral school for 3 years. And then I went back. I was like, because I had a criminal justice degree, which you can get online now, by the way.
It's like
I talked to somebody in Wisconsin.
It's like at a barber, if you get that haircut 6 times in a row, they give you a criminal justice degree. They're like, you punch it, and you're like, you're almost a sheriff. You can either get it online or just get that haircut 8 times in a row.
That's so great. That's great. My argument is I got an administration of justice degree during those Sandusky years, and they should pull my degree for not sniffing that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like you're bench pressing in that same facility while he's literally downstairs. He's fucking a kid in the showers, and you didn't have the clues.
Oh, in my defense, it was different. The football was different.
Sure, okay.
We were in basketball and volleyball.
Oh, so you're
so
good.
We had a different building. We weren't anywhere close to them.
Yeah.
So we were not close to the abuse. But as an administration of justice, they should pull my degree.
I think so.
For not being able to solve that.
Yeah.
But no, I worked in... I worked Comedy on State, which is a great club.
Great club. Great club. Love them.
And it's
shout out to the Paris family.
Yeah.
Greek owned.
It is Greek
owned.
Shout
out to Eve.
They're awesome. Yeah.
They're the best. Yeah.
So this kid had a film degree, and it's like, wow, that, and we were laughing about it because it's like, that's a kind of a useless thing now.
Yeah,
it's like the phones. Like he learned to shoot everything on 8mm.
Of course.
Which is
irrelevant
now.
In film. Oh,
yeah. It's like all that money on that degree, which is largely irrelevant now.
Yeah. At least I would say a film degree is better than a criminal justice degree because it's like, I mean, in film, you could at least like study film. Criminal justice, what do they teach you to get away with domestic abuse? Is that like one of those things? It's like, make her say she fell.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to be in the, like, what are the jobs? It's like, I enjoy the coursework, but it's like, you could be a parole officer, you could be a probation officer, you could be a cop, you can go to law school. It's like, there's just only a certain number. And then I didn't want to do any of that. And they were like, well, you can get a master's. It's like, well, if I can't get a job as a bachelor's, what am I going to do with this as a master's? So I started working with adjudicated kids, which was no money. It was poor money.
And again, going back to our thing about like that, if they should pay those people so much more, and it's like then you would get smart people who want to make a difference. But if you can't feed your family, like, I mean, good for us, we got your comedy out of it. But you know, in the grand scheme of things, the world would be better. Yes. I think about that too, where it's like, I thought about working in like nonprofits, and I did for a year while I was starting comedy. But I was like, well, I like this work, but it doesn't pay anything, and I love stand up.
Right.
And so maybe like the world would be a better place if I didn't do comedy and I just ran a good nonprofit. And the world would be better if you were worked with like, you know, kids who needed it.
Right.
But what do you want to do? Yeah. You know, if we wanted an easier life.
The systems also are not for these kids who are on the severe end of the spectrum. Yeah. They're not really meeting their needs. It's because, you know, everybody needs to be politically correct and no one wants to feel like any kind of way. But it's like they're not really, if a severe kids needs severe facilities and they need to be dealt with in that way. So if you need to restrain, you need to restrain. It's like there's this whole like thing where it's like, we want to blah, blah, blah. It's like we want to dance around the issues. Like, no. These kids are severe and you need to help. Severe measures need to be taken. So I don't think that the system is, and it's also a money thing too. It's like,
of course,
public schools, like if you have a kid that you need to farm out to a facility, that costs a lot of money. So it's beneficial for them to keep them in the classroom, even if they're not benefiting from
it. Right.
So it's like a whole thing. It's money and then, you know.
So you're pretty disillusioned. Like you wanted to make a difference.
Well, I worked in a behavioral school for a while and that was very difficult. And then I worked in three different public schools. So I worked in the city school, I worked in a working class suburb, and then I worked in a wealthy. And different challenges for each. But it's like a lot of the parents of these kids are
in the wealthy
like,
school, you didn't have the right candy for them. That was the big challenge. I hate Reese's.
It's one of those where it's like, my kid is allergic to everything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what we're doing here.
What are
we doing? So you don't want to discipline them. It's like, you gotta discipline them.
Yeah, what are you doing?
So it's that, and then the parents having control, you know, having too much kind of input in terms of like what's going on, the administration not holding to standards.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't benefit them. That's like they're going to get sued. So, and then they're holding to these standards, and where's the, no one sees it.
Yeah.
They just, you know, the kids are educated better. So the administration, a lot of time, if the parents complain, they just cater to them.
Of course.
Yeah. And it's like, why did I go to 6 years?
Yeah.
Why do I have a master's in this? I'm just going to be told by a dipshit parent what to do.
Yeah. You know? I can tell this was 20 years ago and you're still pissed.
I think about it when I work out. So. No, Stavros, I lived with Soder.
Yeah,
and
of
I
course.
Would be going to work out and I'd be leaving and to go work out. And he would look at me and go, it looks like you, because I would have a bag to go work out with my gear. And he would go, it looks like you have a picture of your enemy.
Just tack it up. Yeah. Just, I'm coming for you, cocksucker.
The guy who kidnapped your sister. I'm gonna get revenge.
I love that apartment because it was like, I would hang out there a lot, but I would also hang out there a lot when you were, because you know, you'd be on the road a lot because you know, both you and Soder. And the times where it was just me and Dan hanging out, it really felt like, because like he was wanted to be respectful of this weed smoking policy. Yeah. And it felt like we would like literally be in his room. Like it felt like, all right, we'll smoke weed because my dad's away, but it can't be in the living room. And we would just go in and we would just hit a fucking bowl and like blow it out his back window.
That's so great.
He's like, dude, Mike doesn't like it. It's like, you're both successful comics. It's like, Dan is on Showtime.
Yeah.
And he's smoking weed clandestinely out of his back room. And then we were playing like the Freddy versus Jason Xbox game.
Oh my God.
It was fucking hilarious, dude. It was so awesome.
That's so funny. We had a bump in our floor. We had the pipe broke. And it flooded our kitchen, which was part of the whole, the kitchen wasn't separate.
Yes, how that was laid out.
And it soaked into the floor and the floor warped into a speed bump.
Yes.
And
I remember the speed bump.
We had it for 8 years.
You just had it.
The landlord was like, ow. Like he never fixed it.
Yeah.
It was like we would mention it.
Yeah.
And he would be like, I don't know.
Yeah, but he also never raised rent once, right?
He never raised the rent.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So and he never fixed anything.
Yeah.
Never raised the rent.
That's the rub, though. It's like every year, that $200 he could be raising the rent, you should just apply that to like all the shit that's broken.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure like when we left, he gutted the place. And it, you know probably, what I mean? Like, yeah, gutted the place and then raised
it. And now he's going to raise the rent. Yeah. I still, dude, I walk by there because I go to the, we were just there because my brothers were visiting on Greek Independence Day. Yeah. And we went to the Greek supermarket. We got all these Greek treats. We had like a Greek, we saw John Wick 4 had Greek food and then went to the place for dessert afterwards. And right. We were just like, I was like, there's their old place.
Yeah.
I had fond memory when I first come. You guys were awesome when I first moved and I didn't know anyone and I would just hang out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it because you clearly have a nice background. This is perfect for our callers. Special ed degree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? An athlete. A lot Italian, you know, which cancels out the special ed degree, I think. That brings you back to zero perfectly. But you're
doing math.
You're clearly a man of great experience here, so we can help all our callers. So why don't we take some calls? And of course, guys, we're going to remind you, go watch the special on YouTube right now, The Attractives.
Yeah, and can I do social media also?
Of course, yeah.
At Comic Mike V on Comic all Mike V. Social media platforms, at Comic Mike V.
Go see our boy live. Truly a fucking great comic. One of my favorites. And as well, call us 904-800-STAV if you want us to answer future questions. So go ahead, LD. Play us our first call.
Hey, what's up, no, F-Man?
Dumbass. Didn't work. You fucking idiot. Every time.
Hey, what's up, F-Man? I'd like your advice because I'm seeing this girl. She's pretty hot. Redhead.
Nice.
But she's got a thing with her tits. They're really nice, but she's got like those nipple hairs, and they're not like I don't know. They're not like short ones, man. They're like long. I just don't know how to tell her to like you know take care of it. Anyways, yeah, give me a call or something. Whatever
give
you gotta
a
do.
Call.
971.
You think I'm going to call? Hey, bud, heard your voicemail. I also love this because it's like, what, you've never seen the show? You think I call you? Okay, this is great. So she's got hair, and I've definitely come across a nipple hair here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think. See, I came across it once when I was like hooking up with this girl and she was very fair skinned.
Right.
She had dark hair. So the nipple hair stood out so much. She had like the, you know, this alabaster skin and she had like dark black hair. So she kind of would see it and like pluck that bad boy. Right. Now, you know, how long are we talking here? What's the really
how many?
How many? If we're talking about one or two here or there, you've definitely seen those. They come around, and in my estimation, that's a good sign. I think hormonally, I will tell you. I was just thinking about this. If you see someone who has like, if you see a girl who's got that tiny mustache that you can't really see to the naked eye, but it's got those like little hairs, and then maybe like a happy like a tiny little happy trail. You're in for some of the wettest pussy of your life right there on that. Some of the best. Something's going on there where it's like the hormones are just right. That's like caveman pussy when it was like, we got to get this shit real wet. Because we got, you know, there's woolly mammoths around the corner. We got to bust. This nut has to come fast. So I think hormonally, this is a good sign. You see a little hair on a woman that you don't see normally. Now, is it like how many of them? How do you tell her? Redhead's interesting.
Redhead is interesting.
Because they're fair, they're
yeah,
hair, fair
so you're
hairs.
You're going to see it. You're going to see it. So she probably has light, you know, lighter, really white skin.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. And then the red hair stands out.
Well, see, I don't know if it's that. Because I was going to say, because sometimes a redhead girl will have like that kind of a similar mustache thing, but it's the hairs are so light that you don't see it from the naked eye.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe this is more of a when they're in your mouth or you're real close, you notice them and they're tiny hairs. Now, I would say an easy utilitarian approach here. If she's got great titties and you're in there all the time, you're gonna have to bite her hairs off. I think that's the quickest way.
I think that's what I was actually going to say.
I think that's...
Yeah. and keep them as trophies.
Yeah.
Sorry to take this serial yeah. killer wise, yeah, but yeah, keep yeah. them as trophies. Yeah. yeah.
Like practice biting yeah. your arm hair off. It's possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you can do it gently.
Yeah, you can do it gently.
And it'll give her maybe the message. It'll send her the message.
And yeah. even if you don't do it gently, it's like, you know, you're just like, she's like, ah, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize. I didn't see your. I
maybe didn't tell her to lay off the test.
Yeah. yeah, she jacked. So I would say, yeah, get bite a titty hair off. That's the easiest way, you know. Otherwise, bringing it up to her.
Yeah.
Kind of a, you know.
That's a good way to bring it up.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? It's a nice icebreaker.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Or you're like, start coughing. And you're like, what happened? It's like, I think I got a titty hair.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm dying. Yeah. Pluck those, tweeze those out.
Yeah.
You Neanderthal.
And the red hairs are spicier.
yeah, absolutely. absolutely, 100%. So yeah, buddy, I would say that's my advice to you. Yeah. Just bite the titty hairs off. And she's got nice titties and, you know, you could bring it up. If it doesn't bother her, you might just be sucking on some hairy titties every once in a while.
Yeah.
They're not short, but they're not long, but they're not short either. Interesting.
It's tough because if he brings it up, this is like a lifelong maintenance thing that she's got to think about
sure.
like right. the entire time.
Tweezing a titty hair every once in a while is not a big deal.
No,
I know, but still, it sounds like she's not conscious of it or
yeah.
right. Maybe you're bringing euphobia into her.
Yeah.
I would say bite the titty hairs and see where it takes you. And then
where
call
do you
back.
Bring it up? Where do you bring it up? At Wendy's?
yeah. Oh, that
reminds you. I brought you here to have a talk.
you see how Wendy's hair, how she braids them? We're almost going to be able to do that to your tits if you don't start tweezing soon. You're going to have pigtails on either side of your breasts. You hirsute oh, yeah. bitch.
yeah, just leaving them and braid them.
Yeah. yeah, buddy. So look, bite them and then call us back. Let us know how it went. Here's another one, Big LD.
Hey, Stoddy. Love you. Love the show. Let's give Elvis a second to figure out the audio.
He already fucked it up.
All right. Headline is, have you ever had experience with a girl who is shy about getting her pussy eaten? I've been with my girl for a long time, like 7 years now.
Seven?
She was never with a bunch of guys before me. I only fucked a couple times before I got with her.
Nice. Dude.
And fucking, she's shy about getting her pussy eaten. Mm-hmm. I want to rock the world. I haven't eaten a lot of pussy. What do you got to say? I know that you're the pussy eating rascal.
That's true.
I figured, you know, get some advice from the best. Come to Iowa, get sucked off by some college students or divorced. Love you. Love the show. Bye.
I mean, I'm open to both demographics. Okay. Wow. Okay. Shy. 7 years now, and she's shy about getting her pussy eaten. You guys gotta fuck. You gotta get in there, dude. This is crazy. I get it. I mean, I've kind of experienced that. Like, as I get into my 30s,
yeah,
girls in their 30s don't get either. That shyness is gone. That's
yes.
like a young woman's yeah, thing yeah, where they're yeah. like self-conscious.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, does it smell? Does it taste bad? Whatever. But then you just got to be like, shut the hell up. I'm going to town on this clam. I find when I take that approach,
yeah.
it's hot to them. Where it's like, or a girl will be like, I haven't showered. And it's like, quiet down.
Yeah.
I'm about to eat some fucking pussy here. I'm putting my smock on. I'm getting in there. I'm putting my goggles on. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know? I'm she getting goes, in there in a major way.
She goes, I haven't showered, and you just whisper, I didn't want you.
yeah, yeah, good.
I like it better. I like it gamey.
Yeah. yeah. Like venison. So I would say, yes, exactly. There is a possibility that this is like some kind of, you know, made to feel bad about their bodies thing that a lot of women go through where they...
Right.
So if you have to, I think I've also found sometimes you can warm them up by eating pussy right out of the shower. So so that maybe they're a little less self-conscious if that's the root of it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say take him to dinner first. But I guess right out of the shower is fresh.
It's 7 years. Come oh, okay, on. You know, what years. Are we talking about here?
They're common law married at yeah. this point. 7 years.
So, yeah, dude, I think you're going to have to, I would say maybe talk about, I mean, this is 7 years, bro. You can have these conversations.
Yeah.
You could at the root of most of these questions, it kind of comes down to have a bit of an awkward conversation that'll open everything else up. And look, you guys have been together for a while. And here's the secret. You don't have these sex conversations like before or after sex. You have them in completely non-sexual environments, right, where you can kind of talk about it clinically, not even clinically, but just like without the specter of actually being horny around. Right. Just like, hey, what's so what is this about?
At a Bennigan's.
Yeah, take her to dinner. Like, yeah. Which is the fanciest restaurant in Youngstown. That's where Mike's mind goes. Because that's where you got
that's our five star. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say have the conversation. Yeah. And my guess would be, so three prongs of advice. Have the convo for sure. See what's up. If it happens to be like a self-conscious about her pussy thing, out of the shower so she has less to worry about. And as you get better eating pussy, I think, and as you do it more, maybe she enjoys herself more, she'll probably get less and less self-conscious. Third, I would say just kind of be like, I don't care, and eat some pussy animalistically, which I think is a turn. No one's ever been like mad, right? Because it's like when they're self-conscious about it and you're like, I don't give a fuck. Let me show you how much I don't give a fuck. Yeah. And then you go Tasmanian devil on the pussy. Right. You're like, a fucking tornado. You turn into a tornado around her pussy. And she's like, she pops out just busted with her fucking tits all sweaty and like hair matted to the side. That's good. I think you go that way. And actually there's a fourth option here where some people, and this is hard for me to say, don't like getting head. Okay. And that I don't understand it. Right. It's not my values.
Yeah.
Right. But in the spirit of tolerance, if she's one of these people that straight up doesn't like getting head, you know, you might just have to live with that. That sounds horrible to me. That sounds crazy, but that truly exists. And I mean, when you strip down the layers and you have the conversation, it gets down to it. Like, I have male friends who are like, I'd rather have sex than get my dick sucked. Or like, and I've heard girls say that too. Maybe you got one of those, pal. Yeah. I don't know.
But I like a weather system thing where you give her the options. Like, do you want a category 5 or a category 3? Okay, because we have a high pressure system.
Yeah. And I hate to say this, could be a skill issue. I don't really know how to tell you to get better.
Check in, maybe. Rate, review.
Yeah. Get some feedback.
Get some feedback, yeah.
I must say, look, this is kind of like, why don't star players become coaches? Like, they're like, Michael Jordan could never be a coach because he just doesn't have the patience to walk through an average basketball player through, because he gets it.
Yes.
I have to say, I'm a little bit of that when it comes to eating pussy. I can't sit here and hold your hand. I was a phenom. Coming out of college, I was making all-star games. Even when I was not a comedian at all and I was in college, truly, my college girlfriend, she wanted to take things slow. And she was like, okay, you know, maybe you can go down on me now. And literally the first time I ever ate pussy, she was like, you know what, maybe we should just have sex. Like, I gotta give myself a little credit. The first time, straight into eating pussy, I convinced a girl to let go of like whatever Catholic guilt she had and let me get pussy right then and there. Due to my debut, my rookie performance, I put up 36 assists. She busted. It was pretty cool, honestly. So I don't know. I can't tell. All I can tell you is eat pussy with fervor, like you're having a good time. Enjoy yourself. It'll come through. And, you know, also be mindful of tempos. I have most girls in my opinion, you go at the pussy fast, but there's a small percentage, I would say 10%, that like a real slow pussy eat. So, and this is your wife or common law marriage here. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have to figure that out, pal. Yeah. But Eldest, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, I want to say too, like, I feel like sometimes when girls don't like getting their pussy eaten, it's like, I think sometimes it really is just like not even a self-conscious thing, but they don't know how to like sit back and relax.
Right.
Maybe it's because society is always like, you
their,
know,
so their much job sex. Is to please.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think like for him, I would even just be like, hey, I really want to eat your pussy. I think it's fucking awesome, and it makes me horny as fuck.
Right. That's great.
And it'll
very
make,
good.
It'll make me really horny if I just eat your pussy.
Right.
I gotta taste that pussy, and then
yeah, okay, relax.
Fuck good.
You didn't have to say I gotta taste that pussy. You can keep your sexting lingo out of the fucking discussion we're having right now. But yes, Eldis, despite his somehow saying the most vulgar thing in this hour and a half podcast, he just came right off the top rope and made me uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't know how you guys felt. Mike is squirming in his fucking...
I felt awesome.
Yeah, your dick is hard right now. That's why. You're sending your girlfriend a picture of your dick as we speak. But yeah, that is a very good point, though, Eldis. There is some good insight there. That's a definite possibility. So, Godspeed, my friend. Let us know how your pussy eating adventures go. And we do want to say we are staunchly pro pussy eating and head in general here at Stavvy's yes. World. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Next question, LD.
Hey, Stavvy. So I've got this. This friend, me, him, and our other friend, Kev, we were all kind of hanging out. We had a Lord of the Rings marathon. We were drinking a lot. Nice. Pretty fucked up, but having a good time. And this friend, the other friend, his name is Drew, he kind of started talking to us and telling us about this his family and how his father used to beat him. Or not him, used to be his brother, and used to verbally abuse his other brother. He's got three brothers, and that Drew would walk in on his father sort of hitting one of his other brothers, and would constantly just berate them. And he went on for like 20 minutes, just all this detail, all these past stories of the father beating his brothers, and
can pause for a second.
It was very emotional, and at a certain
now we're going to get to the rest of this call because it seems important. But let's get brief, folks. We don't need to hear how much the guy beat them for 35 seconds. That could be one. That could be 10 seconds. Let's try and honor the under 1 minute rule from now on. And part of this is Eldis's fault for his continued rewarding of the long winded, but that's never going to end. So just a general note, let's work on brevity. We get it. The guy got the shit kicked out of him by his dad. Go on, Eldis.
You know, I think Kev and I were tearing up. Drew was crying as well, just sort of telling us all of this. And then around the 20-minute mark, he kind of just stopped and looked at us and said that all of it was a joke, and that he was just, it was all just a troll. And then we kind of lost it. But so my question is, what do you think the right reaction is? Do you think that that's, would you ever make a joke like that? Would you troll one of your friends for 20 minutes like that and get them to empathize with you? Because we were pissed. Kev almost attacked Drew. I almost attacked him myself. We had to go cool off for a bit. Relationship was pretty strained for months. We're all okay now, but I'm just interested on what your take would have been. Would you have been able to just move on? I think it was funny that he was able to pull that off, or do you think he's a psychopath?
I mean, what are we doing here? What the fuck is that? That's crazy.
It's crazy, that's but I think his insane. Friend should win a TikTok Academy Award for that. Oh, my God.
Dude, this motherfucker has such an empty life. If all the only way he knows how to fucking relate to anyone is a troll, this guy sucks.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, it's almost, honestly, he would be better off mentally if his father beat him and that was a true story. It would be easier to fix a guy who was abused by his father than the kind of guy that makes that up for a group of four. I know. It's not even like, it's just.
Yeah. It literally would be a better sign if he did get beat and he was able to show that he could open up emotionally about it and be vulnerable with his best friends.
Yeah. So there's got to be something up with this fucking guy.
I wonder if he got like cold feet and was like, oh, what am I doing? I'm kidding. This out here. Yeah.
Like, is that a possibility? Is it possible that he went back on this because he just didn't want you guys to know? Because what is the point of doing this? If this is truly a troll and it's not anything else, this guy is a fucking psychopath. Yeah.
I mean, it's you're right. It is four people. It's not like it's yeah. like, it's four people.
It's four people. Like, even if you did this on like YouTube or something, it would be fucked up, but I would
yeah.
get it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why all right, that it. Sucks, yeah. but he's doing it for the love of trolling his best friends.
Oh my God.
The right reaction is be like, what the fuck is... And also, you're fucking up an awesome day.
Yeah.
Everyone's hanging out watching Lord of the Rings.
I blame Lord
Aragorn is fucking slicing orc heads left and right. And he fucks the vibes up.
I know.
You can't rewatch Lord of the Rings that often. You probably had to wait like a year and a half, a year minimum to have like a to really be looking forward to it. Oh, and he man. Fucked that up to tell you this weird story. Wow. Sums up with this fucking guy, dude. I would hate that. I also would know my friends well enough to, like, know. That's the upside of having, like, friends who you've had for most of my best friends, the people that I would have this kind of thing with.
Right.
I've known I've known Eldest 28 years. Like, I've known, you know, other friends 10, 15 years, whatever. But, like... That's fucking insane, dude. Yeah. Like, there's something up with that guy. Here's the thing. Like,
well, now it's going to be weird. It's like he comes, that same friend who did that overdramatic story is going to go, my father just died. Dude, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
It's like the cry wolf.
It's over, bro. Yeah. You can't, now nothing bad can happen to this guy. 20 minutes?
They were both crying.
Everyone was crying?
Everyone was crying.
What the fuck? He's got to channel that into something else. Does this guy have a girlfriend, a family, a job?
I don't know.
He was fucking preparing a fucking dramatic monologue to make you cry during Lord of the Rings? Fuck this guy, dude.
Oh, my God.
This guy sucks. You should have attacked him. What the fuck? He's fucked. Dude, this sucks.
Yeah, maybe.
Also, how old are you? Trolling is not... Like, what are you... did they say how old they are?
I don't think he specified, but let's say, I don't know, 20s, I would assume.
Mid-20s, yeah.
I could see this maybe still being funny, like, okay, as far as 24, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys are real young, there's the ironic detachment. Like, look, I'm a veteran of the irony wars, right? Like, I get it. I was on Cumtown for 6 years. I get it, right? That's how I started my, like, podcasting career, was saying the most fucked up shit for fun because it's funny when you're in your 20s. But at the same time, if you're older than that, and even if you're not, 20 minutes is a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Like, this is too, you're hearing it from someone who did find shit like this funny when I was younger. And if someone did this to me, even at 20, for this long, and it actually elicited real emotions, that's what's really dangerous here, is that, like, trolling and this kind of behavior, it's an ironic detachment from real emotions.
Yeah.
If you've gone so far that not only are you detached from real emotions, yeah. but you muster them up only to make your friends cry,
yeah.
you're gone.
Well, maybe his friends, like, maybe his friends beat him up, and then afterwards, and he's just saying he was just kidding the entire time. But after they beat him up, they go, yeah, but we were still running on that fake emotion.
Yeah. That's a dangerous game to play. So the thing is, your friend is fucked up. Yeah. And if you're going to maintain a friendship, you got to be like, hey, man, why did you do that? And what in you, and really make him answer. Yeah. And he can't be like, I thought it'd be funny, because it's more than that.
Yeah.
He was molested by a drama teacher, is probably what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no way you do this and you're just a cool, regular guy.
No. There's something deep-seated.
Yeah, this sucks. Yeah.
Or maybe he's took an acting class and he's trying to, like, really see.
Yeah. That would be cool if he said that, but I don't even, that's the thing, that's what's so fucked up.
He took an evil acting class.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. Evil acting 101. Yeah, dude, so. I don't think it was, I honestly, in out of context, like, if that happened to me and my friends, I would not find it funny. That's the thing, man, it's like.
Because it's not a funny thing that happened to him.
Yeah.
And it's not like there was no, like, comedy in getting beat by your father and watching your brothers get beat.
But you know what?
There's nothing funny in that.
It would have been it would have been funny.
There's nothing even askew in that. He took it too far.
Here's what I'll say.
There's nothing even askew in that, where it's like, oh, I could see how this could be kind of hilarious. Now, it's just straight.
I do see the structure of humor in convincing your friends something bad happened to you for a little bit, right? Like, right. Like if this was 2 minutes.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. That's funny. Right. If you're like, my dad fucked my ass, and you made me believe it for even a half a second,
yeah.
I'd be like, that's pretty good, dude. Yeah, I honestly thought your dad fucked your ass. But if you talk in detail about how he spit in your hole and spread it apart, and he fucking couldn't get hard at first, so you just had to lay there on all fours, knowing your impending assault is happening. Like, that's not funny. You know what I mean? Like, you can take the bit too far.
And how do you transition from Lord of the Rings to that?
Yeah. That's the other thing. And again, in the context of ruining an awesome bros day, that's honestly his biggest crime.
Right.
Whether it's doing some weird monologue, inviting your girlfriend without telling anyone, forgetting to order the Chinese food, not buying enough weed, only getting enough mushrooms for two guys instead of four. Anything that fucks the bros day up is a capital offense. And this is one of the worst ways to fuck it up, personally. Because it's like, you're getting older. It's hard to find time to carve out with your friends.
Yeah.
And you fucking, like, give up a Saturday.
Yeah.
And this is how it ends, with you wanting to fight your boy. That sucks. This one struck a chord with me, dude. Yeah. I haven't said anything funny in a half hour, but I'm just like, this pisses me off.
I think you're right. The 20 minutes is the
20
key.
Minutes is the key.
Is the key.
Because making your friends believe something horrific for 2 minutes is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spending this much time and effort when you could have been like, you know, I don't know, buying, you know, doing something positive.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We got to take this negative shit and do 2 minutes of something negative for the bit, 18 minutes of like, hey, man, I really appreciate you as a friend. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is this is true. I hate to be like, this is toxic.
Yeah.
You're getting a legitimate, I'm calling something toxic out of me, which is hard for me, dude.
1 minute of the bit, 19 minutes of high fives.
Come on.
A little ratio here.
Yeah, yeah. 1 minute of the bit and then like be like, and he, you know, and the worst part is he left this mark on my thigh, and then you pull your balls out. That's awesome, dude.
He just rewrote the
ending. Get everyone to believe you got hurt and be like, and he took a knife to my thigh and carved a chunk out. And then they're like, really? They're like, yeah. And then your balls come out.
Come on.
You're carried out on the shoulders.
You leave them wanting more. Yeah. Classic showbiz ending.
All right, we got to get off this one because I'm trying to wrap my mind around what kind of person does this, and I'll go in circles forever. Hit us with another one, Eldis. Something fun.
Hello, Stavian friends. I made a call a bit before, but I got cucked at work, but here I am with it. Could use your help. Did a bit of a mental gymnastic lately. My room's a little bitch, I'm not too sure. But I'm seeing, like, I saw this girl in high school, grade 12, probably 8 years ago. We dated a bit, went a bit longer after school. And then years go by, we went our separate ways, never talked to. And then here we are.
You really gotta work on brevity, folks.
Hanging out again, but...
You're dating someone you also dated in high school. Was that hard?
I let go of the emotions and moved on from all that shit. But after reconnecting, I feel like it's a bit harder than I thought. And we've been seeing each other for about a few months now. I'm just hanging out, having fun, whatever. But I don't know what I should do, if she's seeing other people or the little thing, or make the move or whatever. But I think I should be a bit of a bitch about it, and I should just keep getting my dick fucked and not disappointed with it. So, but at the same time, those same emotions peaked up again, and sorry, I'm just doing the mail. those same emotions peaked up again, and find myself in a dilemma of, I know she's a bit of a skank, a little loose gal, as you would say, but I'm all for it. No, but I don't know. It's just a weird mental boundary.
Awesome.
Just being friends. Get my dick sucked or just cut it off. Because I can see myself getting back together, but also enjoying being friends. I don't know. Maybe you can help me, lead me in a good direction. Yeah, dude.
No, you're fucked for sure.
Okay, so what? Can you?
I know. And you know what? I know I'm talking about brevity, but this is like, this guy is one of the least in touch with his emotions people. So this is big for him, and I get that. he's like has to do an errand. He has to go, you know what I mean? He's like walking around. He's like, oh, getting the mail. He can't just admit. Here's what happened. He dated a girl in high school who he clearly had feelings for.
Yeah.
They went their separate ways. And now, what do you say, 8 years later, yeah, whatever, 8, 10 years later, they started dating, you know, started dating casually.
Okay.
And he was like, and he, I guess, under the guise of, it's going to just be casual. We're going to hook up. You know, this is fun. But all the emotions are flooding back for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly, he care. He's like, oh, I'm starting to care. You're not starting to do shit. You're in love with this, yeah, in your own words, skank.
Right.
Which is not a problem. I am pro hoes. This is a pro pussy. This is a pro slut podcast.
Yeah.
Best people on earth, honestly, okay? And anyone who says they wouldn't date someone who was like, you know, who fucked a bunch of people or who even does like, who's a sex worker, it's like, grow up, you fucking loser.
They're called givers.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? They're not self-centered.
Yeah, they are. They really, truly, truly are. And they've picked up some great skills at the office, okay? Oh, you're not going to eat Cinnabons because a chef made them for someone else, you fucking asshole? No. They've made a lot of Cinnabons, so they're real delicious. Anyway, you're not in a weird mental dilemma at all here, pal. You are clearly... This is one of the simplest things of all time. You basically emotionally are at the whims of this woman, and you don't want to admit it. You've made up your mind. You do want to be with her, but now you're scared she's either going to say no or more. Because I'm going to guess from your voice, you're a Canadian townie of some kind. You sound like you're a fucking extra on Trailer Park Boys. So it sounds like either you're afraid she'll reject you to date seriously, or a kind of more sinister, kind of shitty, misogynistic thing. You're afraid people will judge you for being with a, quote unquote, skank, right?
But what, did he get his dick sucked?
He did. He's dating her.
Okay.
But so he's like, what happens if she starts seeing someone... He asked, right, like, what happens if she starts seeing someone else? Like,
right
now they're in that, like, nebulous, we're dating, but nothing's been said phase.
Right.
And it's kind of like a game of Russian roulette, you know, where it's like, who's, like, pop, you know, like, who's going to, like, die for, who's going to get killed with the, until you either date or break up, it's Russian roulette.
Yeah.
And one of you will be heartbroken.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how it works. So, or I guess you stop the game before anyone gets shot and you're like, good, you know, go separate ways. The thing is, I can tell from your general, like it's funny that someone's, like, even though we're talking on the phone, you told me this story without making eye contact. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're like, eyes at your shoes, can't admit this shit.
Yeah.
I can feel how much you care about this person. And I got news for you, pal. As hard as this phone call was, you're going to have another hard conversation with her and be like, hey, look, I like you. I have a good time with you. You know, I'm feeling a connection. Do you want to give? And here's the thing that I learned in therapy, where if you have commitment issues, dating someone for a little bit is not getting married. You guys, you could say, if you happen to have these commitment issues, you'd be like, hey, do you want to give this a shot for a little bit?
Yeah.
See, it's just, we'll date exclusively for a while. It doesn't have to be serious, but we don't have to see other people, right? Like,
right.
I'm not saying we're getting married, but it's like, I'd like to just focus on this relationship, you know. I'd like to see if there's a possibility for us to date. And then you could take
But that's an emotional risk. That's the thing he's afraid to take, is that emotional risk. Because that takes balls to do that.
It does.
To come out and be like, this is what I think it is. Why don't you tell me? Because you got to be ready for the rejection there.
Of course.
Like, so if you get hit with the I don't think so or the rejection, and you got to be comfortable with that, and you got to stay in the pocket and go, can still be like whatever. Or if it doesn't work for you, be like, nah, we can't be friends, but I respect what you said. You can't force yourself to feel any kind of way.
Yeah.
And then just stay in that pocket. But if you're going to throw it out there like that, like I never liked the guys who like have the balls to throw it out there, but if the girl goes, I'm just not interested, then they go, you're a bitch anyway.
You it's fucking like, whore.
It's like, you can't
you
do that.
You think I date you?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. 100%.
You gotta go, all right, I respect it. 100%. We can still be friends. We can't be whatever. I threw it out there. I took a risk, but you can't be a little bitch
100%
on the rejection. She's got the right to walk away.
Yes, and he said, and that's perfect because you've said, in his thing, he said, I feel like I'm being a little bitch here. Or like, I don't want to be a little bitch and feel this way. That that's not being a little bitch. Being a little bitch is not saying something
right.
about it.
Yeah.
That does take
And more. Then being in a friend, a weird friendship place in where you weird, don't want to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Even if, like, that is something that happens as you get older. The friend zone, you can be in the friend zone and get pussy. I got rejected by a girl who, like, you know, we had hooked up once, and I was like, you know, I was like, let's just see, you know, we don't live in the same city, but it's like whenever we're in the same town, we both travel for work. Sometimes I'm there, sometimes she's here. And she was like, hey, like, and we hung out a couple times. And she's like, hey, like, I like you, but it would have to be, like, just as friends. And in some ways, it hurts more when someone who you fucked wants to just be friends. Because it's like, damn, she did give me the shot. Yeah. I can't even have that loser, well, if I had just gotten the shot. Nah, it's right. like, no, my dick, I guess, was trash. And that stings. Yeah. And I'm with you, buddy. Yes. As someone who just recently, like, somebody that I hooked up with who I was in a weird nebulous, like, semi-romantic friendship, and we would hook up sometimes. It still yeah. hurts. And obviously, yeah. I didn't, thank God I didn't date her in high school. I don't have all the baggage you do. So, and I got, you know, I got to fuck a couple other girls yeah. right afterwards to make myself feel better. My life's better than yours, but it still hurt. Yeah. I was sad for a week, right. you know. So, I would say that's your move, bro. Yeah. You gotta actually do this.
Make the move.
And this is not, this is what not being a bitch is. This is being a fucking man. This yeah. is being like, heroic, right? It's like you might, and he might even be scared because he sees the writing on the wall.
Yeah,
where it's like, but you never know unless you try, brother. Yeah. I'm telling you. And yeah. the other part of this, another running theme with this podcast, is the road to a win is littered with losses. So you fucking take this loss, you're one step closer yeah. to a W, pal.
Yeah,
it will make you tougher. You will be better off for it.
Right.
You'll know the kind of person that you want. And even if this doesn't work out, you've recognized something in her that you feel a real connection to, and that gets you closer to finding the person that's like has some of those qualities, yeah. but then also the other ones that, you know, this girl might be like 60% what you want yeah. if she's not into it. It gets you closer.
Yeah.
You have identified, well, I like this, this, and this about her, but I didn't like this, this, and this. I'm going to look for that in another person. So,
agreed. And you know what? Even if you take the loss in this valiant way that we're talking about, yeah. she might step back after, you know, it always takes that week, 2 weeks for or whatever, sure. and go, hey, this guy really, but I like the way he, they're always yeah, watching
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, yeah, 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 himself. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like
yeah,
the resilience. Yeah. Like maybe absolutely. This guy is what I need.
Yeah.
You and, know, and then it, you get yeah. the call back.
Absolutely. But don't give him that hope. He doesn't need that no. right now. He needs to know it's yes or no and yeah. move on if it's a no. He doesn't.
Stay
don't,
in the pocket.
Ignore, Mike's right, but ignore it. Okay, that's advanced. We're in emotions 101 right now. That you're right, but that's a 300 level course. That's like, he's not ready for that level of emotional manipulation yet, you know? So, yeah, and look, and it's up to you to decide whether you can still be platonic friends or whether you have to just break it off. In my personal experience, and maybe this is because I am also not emotionally developed, it's hard for me to stay friends with someone
yeah.
if I've had any kind of romantic connection with them. It's not impossible. I have some friends who I dated who right. like who are still in my life, but it's kind of, for me, it's a thing of time. It's like people I dated so long ago yeah, that yeah, it's yeah. almost like a different person
right.
dated them.
Right.
Like for example, this person I just discussed, I was like, she wanted to be friends still, but I was like, look, that's just not going to work for me right now. And it's like, maybe down the road we'll be friends. Maybe down the road she'll throw me a little pussy pie again. Who knows? But either way, I know for me it wasn't right. It would just kind of make me a little sad yeah. to hang out with yeah. her now. And that's totally fine if that's what you feel like. You But either way, you just have to figure it out, stick with it, and put yourself out there. You can only, it's like, in a lot of ways, there is risk in all this shit, and I get being scared of it, but you can't let that, what scares you, control you. You got to go out and try hard, buddy. So we're rooting for you, pal. One way or another, you're going to make this happen.
Yes. Possible to go to the bathroom?
Sure. I think we're pretty close to wrapping, right, Eldis?
We're at 137.
You want to do, can you do one quick one, or do you
yes.
got to do a quick pisser?
I got a quick light one.
Quick light one to take us off, to play us out. Watch the special, folks. See Mike on the road. Follow him on fucking Twitter, Instagram, the whole nine. You know what the
Comic
fuck
Mike
is.
V.
Comic Mike V. The Attractives on YouTube.
The Attractives on YouTube.
Hit us with the final question.
Hey there, Stabby baby. So, long time ago, my ex-girlfriend was second generation Greek.
Nice.
And so, you know, they were celebrated all of it. Hedda Yaya, Babu, the whole nine.
Nice,
and
dude.
So they really went hard for Greek Easter. And the first time I ever went to Greek Easter at the church, you know, we paid $20 to get in, whatever.
Cover
and
charge?
Everybody has a full plate. They're like, oh, you can, you know, go get a plate. I was like, oh, hell yeah. And everybody in front of me is getting two pieces of spinacopita, you know, all the whole fixin'. I go up there, ask for two pieces. They go, no, everybody needs to share. You get one. Everybody else but me got two pieces of everything. And because I wasn't Greek, I'm fucking Irish as hell. My question for you is, you guys ever celebrate Greek Easter? Is that like a thing for you guys? Like, you know, just want to know. Anyway. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah, you fucking redheaded prick. You think you're coming to our fucking church and getting double spanakopita? You'll take one piece and be happy. Go back and have some fucking haggis, cocksucker, if you don't like it. Go eat a boiled potato with two fucking little sprinkles of salt on it if you got a problem.
But that's the same thing with you taking me and Soder yes. to the Greek restaurant. It's yeah. like we got treated like kings yeah. when you were there. We got yeah. treated regular yeah. and less than regular yeah. when we went yeah, there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's kind of also on your girlfriend for letting... Because in any ethnic restaurant or ethnic situation, you need a guide of that. You need yeah. a Sherpa.
Yeah.
Of you need a Greek Sherpa in a Greek restaurant. Like when I got Korean food, I was dating a Korean girl last year. When she took me to get Korean food, it was... insane
dude, yeah.
how fast they were there. Yeah, and like yeah. we go to Korean barbecue sometimes and it's like, dude, we go with like four to six big motherfuckers. Half of us are fat as shit. They know we're spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
They don't treat us good then.
Yeah.
I go with a tiny Asian woman.
Yeah.
It's like the keys to the fucking...
They treated you so good you guys weren't even sitting on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, they fucking, they broke out the chairs.
They broke out the chairs
these
for you.
Thrones. But, yeah, so that's a little bit on your girlfriend. But also, yes, dude, like we were talking about it earlier in the episode, actually, Greek Easter's the fucking best, dude. It's like, it's our Thanksgiving. We don't have and it also makes a little more sense in terms of when Thanksgiving should be.
Right.
They kind of bang, it's kind of a gang holiday gangbang, where it's like November in my head just... auto-corrected to Thursday. I don't know what the fuck happened. November kind of is the Thursday of months.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
almost the weekend, which I consider right. to be, I guess, December. You just got a little sneak peek into how fucking stupid I am, folks. Anyway, it makes more sense to have Christmas and then a big spring holiday, yeah, I think, yeah, in terms yeah. of balance.
Right.
But Greek Easter fucking rules, dude. Even the church, like, like I said, I don't go to church anymore, but Easter celebration's awesome because we literally celebrate at midnight. Like, we act like it's New Year's, where yeah. it's like Jesus popped out of the tomb at 12:01. You know what I mean? Like, we celebrate, like, oh, he's risen. Like, literally, we wait till 12, and it's like, he's risen. And then we have fucking candles. People light off fireworks.
Wow.
It's fun as shit. It's a midnight mass. And then you go, because you've been fasting all day, restaurants are open. So yeah. you go out, and you just get fucking lamb chop. It used to be a traditional soup. You'd have, like, this, like... you know, soup, but it's like in Greektown, it got to the point where it's like just the regular restaurants were open and serving just fucking skewers of meat, which is really funny because to have it ready
yeah.
for midnight, they're cooking it at, you know, during church. So you're like at church fasting and you're smelling fucking steaks and
that's
like,
great.
And, but dude, Greek Easter fucking rules so much better than your bullshit ham Easter. We literally like in Greektown, we had family friends, the only rich people that I knew growing up
yeah.
would host this giant Easter and everybody was invited, like everybody in the community was invited and they had this beautiful house. They were literally like four whole lambs on the spit.
Wow.
Whole, and that's like, that's the main course, but it's also like they have a grill with lamb chops. It's like, it's fucking insane. I can't wait. My dream is to let that literally means something to me. Like
yeah.
it has meaning. So I can't wait. I'm trying to buy a house in Queens with a backyard so that I can host Greek Easter for all my friends in the
that's
neighborhood
awesome.
Where it's like, I literally want to do a whole lamb
yeah.
on the spit. Yeah, dude. So you got finessed. You deserved it.
It's actually your girl's fault.
It's your girl's fault. And clearly, yeah. he says it was in the past tense.
Yeah.
So that relationship was never... You should have known right then and there that relationship wasn't going to work. But anyway, that's going to do it for us. Mikey's got to piss. I got to piss. Go watch the special. Watch, come see us on the road. Me and Elder's got to start. You know what? We're going to start doing before the show plugs so that you know where we're coming and everything like that. But we love you. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back soon. See you next time. Bye.